The pregame show for your day. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Who wants to go clean something? Matt Granite, the deal boss, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save. His deal today makes it easy to do that, I think. Good morning, pal.
Absolutely, and I think he sums it up well. This is not something that we flock to in terms of our excitement. This is not a pair of headphones or a laptop or any of the deals that I'm going to have tomorrow through the next couple of weeks. But this is a very useful item. It's basically your key to a power cleaning that you can do on your own. And Bill, this is a tool that does it all.
Power cleaning is a big business. It can be costly. You got something really simple, saves me money, and I can just use the garden hose?
Yeah, absolutely. You plug this power brush into any garden hose, any standard attachments, mm-hmm. and this will clean grills, patios, sidewalks. It's amazing for the wheels and rims of your car. So many times you're going to a car wash paying for these add-ons that you could do on your own.
Right.
It also handles boats, decks. And the great thing about this own pressure washer that you ultimately end up with is it is so gentle with a different attachment that you can use on those delicate surfaces. It will even clean your pet.
Layla will love it, our little Bichon. Okay, all right.
It's a real thing. We took a dog not that much bigger than Layla. One of our set directors had her, and we had another three people come forward afterwards, and the dogs loved it. We actually have video of us giving the dogs their bath and their wash, and simply by changing the attachment to the soft dog clean mode, you get something that, well, you don't need to take your dog to the groomer for, because for $24.99, one tool does it all.
I love the price. How about 8-year-old boys coming in from a muddy play day? Does it work on them too?
Yeah, I think that could work.
All right.
I think you're onto something.
How much again?
$24.99 down from $50.
Matt Granite, the deal boss, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save. Watch him there. Back here tomorrow, we'll start a little back to school theme with some wireless stuff for you and a hammock still to come too this week. Granite, thank you, pal.
Awesome.
Mike Snyder's got your sports mornings 15 and 45 past. Morning, pal.
Good morning, Bill. Tough one for the Tribe in Minnesota. As you mentioned, the Twins have just had the Tribe's number.
Now the 0-1. Swung on. Fly ball pretty well hit to left center. Brantley on the run. It's over his head. Hits the track. Bangs up against the wall. Around third. Coming to score. Adrianza. And Mitch Garver gets a game-winning walk-off hit to left center. And the Twins just continue to have the Indians' number. They walk off the Tribe 5-4 here in the ninth inning.
Yeah, the Twins are 7-3 against the Indians this year. They just can't beat anybody else. In fact, they've already waved the white flag on the division. They're making trades right now as they look for the future. For the Indians, a night of frustration at the plate where they went 0-for-11. Had the guy they wanted at the plate in the ninth with Lindor on third, Ramirez at the plate, but he couldn't get it done either.
Yeah, I mean, Hosey early with a couple, you know, and Gomer with good swings. And then we got Hosey up at ninth in the ninth, and that's the guy you want up. And I think their guy put enough of an off-speed in his head that he's able to get the fastball by him.
Well, Hosey early in the game hit home runs number 31 and 32, most by an Indians player by the end of July since Jim Thome back in 2001. But the Indians come up short. Series continues tonight at 8:10. Trevor Bauer on the mound. Clock ticking on the trade deadline, which is at 4 this afternoon. Indians reportedly contacted the Nationals about Bryce Harper, who the Nationals are dangling a bit right now to see what they might be able to get for their superstar. I don't see any real traction to that, but that's out there. Now, the other American League contenders are making moves. Red Sox get second baseman Ian Kinsler from the Angels. Yankees get twin starter Lance Lynn. Astros get closer Roberto Osuna from the Blue Jays. He'd been out serving a suspension for a domestic violence arrest. Trade deadline at 4 today. Of course, moves can be made after that, much like they acquired Jay Bruce last year. We'll see if the Indians pull the trigger today. Browns feeling pretty good about their first 5 days. Days of practice. They get a scheduled day off today. Of note, yesterday, Jabril Peppers, who's been out, was back on the practice field for the first time. LeBron James in Akron yesterday celebrating an accomplishment that'll continue well beyond his playing career, creating a new school for the city of Akron. He did talk some basketball, reflecting on his time with the Cavs.
Being able to come back the following year and then win it and break I don't want to call it a streak, but the drought, break the drought, the 50-plus year drought that this city had endured throughout the history of sports.
No question about that, and that will never be forgotten, though. He's moving on, though, to the Lakers. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100. Time for a Browns training camp report brought to you by your fantasy football destination, Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings Beer Sports. Browns quarterbacks have more meetings to attend than the other players in addition to their work on the field, so the convenience of an RV in the team parking lot gives them a little break now and then where they can catch a quick nap, as Baker Mayfield puts it.
It's a place you can get away. Up here all day, you do get one break right now between the walkthrough and practice, so you got to be able to kind of relax a little bit, unwind before practice, just getting your mind right.
Now, it's limited to the quarterbacks, although we hear they allow the offensive linemen to poke their heads in there if they want to. And, of course, Hugh Jackson says, hey, I can go in there anytime. It's my parking lot. But this Browns up, with this Browns update, I'm Mike Snyder.
All right, President Trump and the leader of Iran. How's this story playing out? Trump says he may open up a dialogue. Last week he was sending mean tweets. Bill Zimfer explains. What's going on here?
Yeah. Last week the president fired out that all caps tweet, putting a warning out there for Iran that they would suffer severe consequences for their actions if they ever threaten the United States again. Now, yesterday the president was asked during a meeting he had with the Italian prime minister whether he would be willing to sit down and talk to Hassan Rouhani, the Iranian president. President Trump said, sure, I'll talk to anybody. I'm ready whenever they are. And when it was asked whether there were any preconditions for any kind of sit-down, the president said no. However, Bill, that was quickly followed by comments from Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, and Iranian officials who said, heck yeah, there's going to be preconditions for this thing. Pompeo saying that Iran would have to make fundamental changes on how they treat their own people. They would have to reduce their destabilizing behavior in the region and agree to prevent proliferation of weapons in the area as well. Iran shot back, was saying the United States would have to show respect for Iran, return to the Iran nuclear deal, and agree to a reduction in hostilities against Iran. In other words, Bill, there's no shot at a meeting between the two right now.
It's just not going to happen. There's also been some talk about military buildup that we're doing around there, right?
Well, yeah, that came from a report from the Australian Broadcasting Corporation citing an Australian official who was involved in meetings with Secretary of State Pompeo and Defense Secretary Mattis that said that the United States was putting together an attack plan for Iran that could be executed as early as next month. This was quickly denied, Mattis calling it fiction. However, there could be something to this. Of course, military planners are always ready with a military plan if called upon. I sure wouldn't be surprised if we do have something in the books that would at least attack Iran's military capabilities, including their nuclear program.
Bill Zimfer on the story. Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome, Bill.
More plays out today. Updates, of course, top and bottom of the hour, and Rush Limbaugh's take on all of it follows the news at noon on WTAM 1100. Boy, he's not going to give up. Michael Bauer joins me. President Trump still talking about this wall and getting it funded, or he going to shut it down again, huh?
Yeah, that's what he's saying. But he said yesterday in a big television conference with the new Italian prime minister that he would have no problem shutting down government in October if Congress does not approve his immigration restrictions and wants that along with funding for a southern border wall. He did say that his demands are a non-negotiable red line. But there is a story today from the Wall Street Journal saying that perhaps President Trump has agreed to put the concept of a shutdown until after the midterm election, which might be a pretty good move and one that Republicans have been pushing for the past 48 hours. They think that keeping control of Congress, and if you want to do that, you don't want to have this looming overhead, a threat from the president, that you're going to shut down government while you're so close to the midterm. So at least at this point, it appears as though while the president's talking a big game and definitely wants to get this done, it may be something that happens in December rather than October.
And with North Korea, Iran, now the threat of government shutdown, this is kind of Trump's pattern. He goes in early and, like, you know, drops a big bomb, if you will, and then comes back later maybe and negotiates something.
Yeah, it seems to be that's his pattern. Like, get the idea out there first, what his concept is, how far he's willing to go, what his end game may be as far as what the direction he wants to take this, and then work your way backward from there. And as we've seen, you've had, you know, both Mitch McConnell over the weekend talking with the president and also saying he didn't want to see the government shut down. Paul Ryan saying the same thing. Other Republicans just being concerned that this would happen. I mean, in order for it to happen, Trump would have to veto a clean spending bill that both parties were supporting, and then Republicans would have to vote to sustain that, which could technically happen, Bill, but why would you do that? There's no reason to do it so close to the midterms.
All right, our Michael Bauer on the story this morning. Michael, thanks much.
You got it, Bill. Have a great morning.
You too, buddy. Graduate Benedictine, 8-time Ohio Sports Writer of the Year, columnist Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, and at a library near you once in a while, like North Ridgeville tonight, 6:30. Terry Pluto joins us. Morning, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Wills.
Let us start with our Indians. Terry, you retweeted something last night. We've been a little concerned, I think, about Andrew Miller, but last night, I guess, pretty good outing for him, huh?
Finally, it was glad to see him get somebody out in the minors to make it up. Keep talking about, oh, he's feeling great or whatever. Give up 4 runs at Lake County. There's something not going on, so it was good to see. I guess he threw a scoreless inning at Columbus.
And I know Mike Snyder, there's talk about an outfield trade, but yeah, getting Miller back is almost like adding a pitcher.
Well,
right
it's
now,
huge.
Right?
Yeah. Terry, if you think about it, with a healthy Miller, mm-hmm, and Cody Allen and the addition of Hand, things look pretty good for the Tribe when you get to that part of the game.
Right. I know they're still concerned. Well, how will that knee hold up? That's why they've been pitching him every other day and so on. And maybe that was part of the reason some of those things in the minors weren't going real well. But exactly. And, you know, it's very important for Miller's career. He is a free agent at the end of the year, and I'm sure he wants to show he's healthy and effective.
Terry, the trade deadline is today at 4. This is the time when rumors galore are out there. What are your thoughts? Do you think the Indians will pull the trigger on a trade?
Yeah, I do, although maybe something where it's, what they could say, an incremental improvement. You know, all of a sudden I saw the Bryce Harper. They talked about Bryce Harper. I'm sure they did. It's like, will you send Bryce Harper here and pay, like, you know, 17 of the $20 million and we'll give you some kid in Class A we never heard of? Because I know if they're going to do a rental, like, remember Jay Bruce, they traded, and I'm fairly familiar with the farm system, they traded a player I never even heard of for Jay Bruce. And I think we'll probably never hear of him again. And those are the kind of deals you make when you're just kind of renting a guy for a short period of time.
They may just wait and see. I mean, the deadline today is one thing, but you can still make moves. In fact, as you mentioned, Bruce, they acquired him in August last year.
Right. That's why, you know, and they said, well, they won't put the Indians refused to put Shane Bieber in a deal for Bryce Harper. We're no kidding, because Harper's going to be gone in October or November, whenever free agency starts, I'm sorry, after the World Series. And the thing to remember is Cleveland is not going to, you know, give Bryce Harper a $250 million contract or whatever to keep him. If I'm going to throw that kind of money out there, you know who it goes to? He's on the roster.
Frankie Lindor.
You got it.
I got you. All right, you've been out in Berea, the Browns, 5 practices in. Your thoughts?
I have been really pleased with the quarterback play, and I'm not sure when was the last time I said that, because that's plural, as in both of them. You know, throwing, they're both accurate passers. Mayfield has gotten much better. I'd like to see Hugh cool the Jets on. He's everything I want in a quarterback and everything else. Hugh, at least let him play an exhibition game, you know. But the improvement has been dramatic, because I thought he was really rocky in the spring, and I saw him like 4 times. And right now he looks like a competent NFL quarterback, still running the offense. Tyrod Taylor, I don't spend a lot of time worried about him, unless he just looked terrible, because he's done it. He's been around. And Hollywood Higgins, Mike, one of my guys, has had a good camp.
Terry, well, go ahead, Mike.
No, let's hope so. Let's hope that continues. Go ahead, Bill.
And as you wrote in your latest column, a good quarterback makes a receiver look better, and a good receiver makes the quarterback look better, too.
Yes, and maybe part of it is them having Jarvis Landry to throw to. Both of those guys, Mayfield, and especially Taylor. When he don't know what to do, he gets open. You can see how he's caught all those passes. He's, like, always open for a short or a medium-range pass. And he catches about everything thrown to him.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter at Terry Pluto. North Ridgeville Library, 6:30 tonight. How much to get in?
It's free. That means I even give refunds.
Date night. Terry, thanks.
Okay, take care.
See you. It is the WGC Bridgestone Invitational at Firestone coming up Thursday morning, a great summertime tradition. One more year, and Tiger Woods, of course, qualifying. He is back. Don Padgett, the executive director of the tournament, on the hotline with us. Don, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Let me ask you Mike, I'll do a media question here first. So, Don, Tiger back. I know most of your corporate work is done a year or two ahead of time. Tiger back, how's it affecting your ticket sales?
We've seen a significant jump in ticket sales. It's the first time Tiger Woods has been here at Firestone since 2014. And 2013 was his last win on the PGA Tour with the Bridgestone Invitational. So really excited that not only have Tiger, but I have a phenomenal field. All top 50 golfers in the official world golf ranking are committed to play. So Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, Ricky Fowler, Adam Scott, you name it, they're here, and I encourage everybody to come out and see it this week, Wednesday through Sunday.
It's just an incredible field, Don, as you say, and for Tiger to get in, that he got in really by the skin of his teeth, didn't he?
He did. He had that sixth-place finish at the Open Championship, but it was really a culmination of all the top finishes that we've seen him have throughout the year. Really coming on strong with his comeback. Had some great ball striking rounds there at Carnoustie a couple weeks ago. And as we know, he loves this place. He's won 8 times here at Firestone. He's going to be going for his 9th win, which would be an all-time PGA Tour record for one player at one golf course. So I know there'll be a lot of Tiger fans rooting for him to see him do that.
Well, it is poetic justice, as you say. Just really the feel of a real major here, I think, for all of these players. And they all seem to be playing pretty well right now, Don, as we look at some of the names. You mentioned Dustin. He just won the Canadian Open. Certainly Spieth and McIlroy played well in the British Open. I mean, you've got guys right now that seem to be at their best.
Well, they are, and they really look forward to playing Firestone South. It's a great golf course, traditional golf course that they don't get to play a lot of. One of the favorites of all the players, so should make for a great week.
And I think, you know, you mentioned Firestone, Don. That is the thing. The course has held up over the years. You know, we've seen courses that, you know, they've changed the courses. We know what they do with the U.S. Open and so forth. But Firestone just stands the test of time, doesn't it?
Well, no question. It's a great golf course, but there's a great golf history and tradition here. It's our 65th anniversary of professional golf at Firestone Country Club. It all started with the 1954 River City Open. But if you look at it, Arnold Palmer's won here 3 times. Jack Nicklaus has won here 7 times. As we said, Tiger 8 times. So all the greats in golf since the mid-50s have played here. And they've had 88 tournaments in the span of those 65 years. 38 of those winners have been major championship winners and 18 World Golf Hall of Fame members. So the cream always seems to rise to the top here at Firestone, and I'm sure this week won't be any different.
Yeah, you're rolling through those stats. You forgot to mention I broke 90 on the South Course one time, and I think, Snyder, you broke 85. So you might want to add that, Don. No.
Everybody's got their round they remember at Firestone, that's for sure.
All right, tickets at worldgolfchampionship.com?
Worldgolfchampionships.com. We've got an Altar Club ticket that you can buy, a daily ticket to hospitality venue on the 16th hole. 18 and under is free as well. So bring the kids out, take advantage of that. BridgestoneInvitational.com.
Excellent. I think you're back with us Thursday. You got him there, Scoot?
Yes, okay. Don is back with us Thursday. And Don, is Swenson's going to be out there?
Swenson's will be here. We have Barrio Tacos, Michael Simon's D Spot, Handle's
Look
Ice Cream.
Out.
So little something for everybody.
Come for the food, stay for the golf.
Right.
All right. Pageant, thanks, pal. We'll talk Thursday.
Thanks, guys.
Let's talk some tech. Agent Derek Maestro, the Geek Squad, with me on WTAM 1100. Hi, Derek.
Morning, Bill.
The heat and our electronics. My smartphone, maybe it was a couple years ago on the beach, I think, first time I actually noticed this, where that warning came up. But I've been on a golf course, depending on where I've got it sitting on my little cart as I'm pushing it, I've seen the alert come up as well. They've got some built-in things to keep them from overheating. Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, your electronics, they get smaller. The downside to the small electronics, it's not always very good for them for heat dissipation. And most of them will actually have defense mechanisms in place. So you'll see a message pop up and say, you know, I'm too hot. They'll actually start slowing themselves down. In some cases, they'll even turn themselves off. And you'll see this on everything from smartphones, laptops, even things like dash cams and other devices.
So keep them out of the sun is the bottom line?
Yeah, absolutely. The big thing is direct sunlight is really a big thing on that. You know, for example, obviously, just like you said, if you have your phone out in the direct sun while you're outside, for example, if you're out on the beach, you may want to just go ahead and wrap that smartphone or even your camera up in a towel. Just get them out of that direct sunlight, put it in your bag. You want to avoid your car as well. You know, just make sure that you're not leaving something out. Some people will come back to their car in the summertime, and they'll see the issues with that dash cam that they have in the window there. Because it's important to remember that, you know, the air inside a car can easily reach 116 degrees in the space of an hour in the direct sunlight, even 100 degrees in the shade. So it's important to keep that in mind. Just like you said a little bit earlier there, humidity is something that we have to deal with here around Cleveland.
Right.
In enclosed spaces with little air movement can contribute as well. So when you're looking at your stuff, make sure to just check your guidelines and in your manual, see what exactly their safe operating temperatures. Just to give you kind of an example here, Apple says their technology should be is fine to be in temperatures up to 113 degrees if they're being stored and while they're off. But if you are using them, you want to keep them in temperatures less than 95 degrees.
General question. I know you hate general questions with electronics. Is it generally, though, the battery that tells the system, hey, we're getting too hot, or is it the other way around? Can the screen have a problem? What is there sensors for everything?
Sure. You know, your phone has a ton of sensors, your devices. The processors in most cases will actually have temperature sensors just because that's going to be the hottest part of your device. But the thing is that even though it's the processor is going to be getting hot, that heat can degrade the other portions of your gadgets. Your batteries will start degrading over time faster than they should be. In extreme heat, if you're keeping it out all the time, that battery will start charging less and less. But also just that direct sunlight, you know, with especially the newer phones with those very ultra-thin screens, those layers can actually get scorched over time. It can lead to damage to the display itself. So all around, it's just you want to make sure that you're keeping that out of the direct sunlight. And even just being, you know, mindful if you're putting something where, you know, near a window where even though it's not right now in that direct sunlight,
right,
time, obviously the sun moves, you just want to make sure that you're protecting your gadget just like you're protecting yourself.
And for the most part, do a reboot and you'll be okay.
Yeah, you'll give it time to cool down, turn it off, give it time to cool down. Usually turn it back on. In most cases, it's going to be fine because, again, these devices are going to protect themselves and try to slow themselves down or even turn themselves off if needed.
Agent Derek Meister, the geek at the Geek Squad. Good follow on Twitter, Agent 3012. Good stuff. Derek, thanks much.
Thank you.
Bridge of the Browns on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside our eyes and ears at Berea, Fred Greetham at 24/7 Sports. Hi, Fred.
Hey, good morning, guys.
I saw a story you'd reposted where one thing Hugh told the team yesterday as they left, this being an off day, stay out of trouble. So we don't want to hear anything about a Browns player today, right?
No, absolutely not. You know, that's one of the things they worry about when they break from mini camp in June to training camp because it's kind of the dark period. But here you only had to worry about one night. Hopefully they made it through.
Fred, through five practices, what have you seen?
Well, you know, the one thing that John Dorsey talked about when he came in was having a plan. And the Browns, you can definitely see the plan. You know, they've so far sticking right with it. I like what they've done at quarterback. You can see the leadership of Tyrod Taylor and how he's taken over ownership and how Drew Stanton and Baker Mayfield, you know, are following in there. And the close, as new as those guys are together, how close-knit of a group they are. The famous RV they have out there for the quarterbacks and you can see it out on the field. And I just think that it starts with the quarterback. If you have respectable quarterback play, I think you're going to win some games. You would have won some last year. And so I like what I've seen. The Josh Gordon thing with wide receiver kind of threw things into a tizzy, but it's made a Corey Coleman step up. He's played as well as he did since training camp of his rookie year and Rashard Higgins as well. And Jarvis Landry shows up every day, catches everything near him. And then you have Antonio Callaway looks pretty good. So you already have three or four guys that look capable, you know, right off the bat, even without Gordon. And look at running back. I like what I've seen in Nick Chubb, you know, and you throw him with Carlos Hyde. You got a 1-2, you know, punch. So far the plan seems to be working. We'll see a week from tomorrow when they start playing, when they play the Giants.
For sure. And I like what Dorsey's done, as you've talked about the plan, and you get a veteran like Landry, really just a pro's pro. He's in that receiving core. You mentioned Hyde with the running backs. They've done it now with some of their defensive additions. And I just think that coaches can only go so far. You need leadership on the field, and they have more veterans now to do that, don't they?
Yeah, they've brought in 13, 14 guys, and they're not old guys. They're more 4, 5, 6 year veterans. So they're, you know, guys mid-20s. They've been in the NFL, but they still have youth to them. And so that blend seems to really, you know, infuse with the young guys that were drafted in the last couple years. And so it does. You see a complete turnover at cornerback position, especially even in the entire secondary. And, you know, they've looked pretty good, you know, as far as in the drills and giving a split second or more for Emmanuel Agba and Myles Garrett to get the quarterback. And so I'm kind of anxious to see how it starts, you know, a little bit in the preseason. We're going to have a scrimmage Friday out there in Berea instead of practicing. The old First Energy orange and brown scrimmage is not there, but they're going to have it out in Berea, and so it'll be kind of a mini chance to see them, you know, put on the pads and do a little 11-11 and go from there.
That'll start at 4 on Friday. Fred, speaking of getting to the quarterback now, protecting their own quarterback is a bit of a concern. What's going on at left tackle right now?
Well, it is interesting because Greg Robinson, who they brought in, former number 2 overall pick, had a concussion at the end of last week, and he's been sitting out, so they've been giving reps to Austin Corbett, the 33rd pick in the draft, backing up Sean Coleman. And you just keep scratching your head thinking that he's got to be in the mix somewhere, picked that high. But he did take a couple reps with the first team yesterday. It's been downplayed, but they still stand behind Sean Coleman. He's getting the turns, almost all the reps with the first team, and I think he's going to, you know, have a chance to, you know, win the job, or it's his job to lose, so to say.
Best team coverage of the Browns, Fred Greatham. Follow him on Twitter, at Fred Greatham. See more at WTAM.com, keyword Browns. Fred, you stay out of trouble too today, okay?
Hey, I won't have a problem with that.
All right, stay cool. Thanks, Fred.
We'll see you.
Rob Moss, the pro at Pepper Pike, and Rob Schulze, who heads up NOGA, Northern Ohio Golf Association. Yesterday, we were at Barrington yesterday. Beautiful days. We helped raise money for The Turn, which is a great program helping people that everything from people that have suffered a stroke or a different injury when it comes to the spine, help them make the turn in life. And using golf as a way of helping to do that. It's a great program that you see a couple of golf holes off 480 near Great Northern. There's a lot there. Anyway, you can find out more at The Turn's website. And I just want to thank Rob Schulze for the invite, and Rob Moss, the pro at Pepper, as we had a fun day at Barrington. Raised a lot of money and a lot of nice people saying hi yesterday, so appreciate that. And Jim Rosenhaus, the last time I had that many tips from anybody on the golf course was from you out in Arizona when I got some help from Rob Moss and Rob Schulze on my swing.
Pretty good-looking swing, Rosie. You ought to check it out on Twitter. Wills looks pretty good. Even the pro said he doesn't need a lot of adjustment.
No, Bill has a solid swing, solid golf swing, no question.
Just from 150 in, I got a little problem.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, there's always something to clean up, right?
Let's talk some Tribe now. 5-4 loss. What is it about these Twins?
Yeah, I don't know. On a day where they unloaded two more pitchers and gosh, it is full sail mode for the Twins. The Indians just couldn't get a hit last night with men in scoring position. I think they ended up 0-for-11. And a couple times in the late innings, had a runner at third with one out and could not score. So just one of those nights, and they hung in there, still had a chance to win it, but they just kind of kept giving the Twins a chance to hang around, and then Twins win it in a walk-off. But they have had a tough time with the Twins, and there's a lot of games coming up with Minnesota between now and the end of the month. And I know the Twins have sold off, and there's no chance they can get back in it, right? But they have a lot of games with the Indians, and the Indians got to figure out a way to beat them head-to-head.
Indians looking at options that are out there. Jim, what's kind of the atmosphere right now around the team as we approach that 4 o'clock trade deadline today?
Well, there's no question. Players know it. So, you know, you have some outfielders here who are going to be impacted by that if the Indians do pick up frontline outfielder, and I think specifically someone to play center field on a consistent basis, both offensively and defensively. So, you know, it's easier than, say, if you're the Twins, where you know that, you know, every time you look around, they could be moving someone significant because they're giving up on a season. But from the Indian standpoint, it's a little bit different because they know whoever comes in is there to help them. It just, it'll impact some of the players who are here. But I think there's a genuine excitement that something good could happen that's going to help this team not only nail down the division, but then do well in the postseason.
Jose Ramirez with two more homers last night. He's in the same breath as Jim Thome, the last player to have as many going into August was Jim. It's just amazing. He'd been struggling, and then last night we see him deliver the way he did.
And Mike, you say he was struggling, and it's easy to say that because when he hit the first inning home run, he was 0 for his last 17. But he had walked 11 times during that time. He had driven in a run and done some other things. And I was talking to Ty Van Berkelio, the hitting coach, and he had no idea that he was 0 for 17 because he said the at-bats were good. He was getting on base. He wasn't expanding his strike zone, which you see a lot of times when a player is slumping. It's just nobody's pitching to him. and deservedly so.
Right.
So I think that, you know, it is funny, you know, he was in a slump. Statistically, yes, but swinging the bat, no, if that makes sense.
Trevor Bauer on the mound tonight, Gambliano.com Tribe Insider at 7. First pitch with Jim Rosenhaus, Tom Hamilton, 8:15. Your morning Indians update this morning brought to you by Falls Motor City. All right, Rosie, pick it up, move on. We'll listen tonight.
All right, guys, thank